You've been awesome. Same as the February. I keep wanting to say, we just talked about, I keep wanting to say last year's event, but that was just February,
Yeah,
right?
6 months ago, yeah.
6 months ago. So same as 6 months ago, we're really impressed with the number of people that are actually not just showed up, but are actually staying all the way through to the Q&A panel. So thank you for that. You already know all of the panel members, so we'll just go right into Q&A.
Well, let me grab one of the panel members.
Sorry, there was a question?
No.
Oh. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So there's a quick question for Tracy. This is one of the, I think you said this is one of the myths about that meme pocket, but I heard you have to go around and ask your neighbors for consent or something to run a meme pocket. Is that true, or can they veto the whole thing?
It's not consent. It's more about just letting them know. So you write a nice letter, you have some cookies, you knock on the door. It's really to allay people's reservations. You introduce yourself, you give your contact details, and you tell people, let's be on the same side here. We're bringing money in, ask them about their business. It's about relationship building. If you just sort of chuck something in their letterbox and that, it's like, oh, who are these like randos coming into the area? Then yeah, you're gonna get yourself into trouble. So right from the day one, I always make a point of introducing myself to the neighbors, the other small businesses, looking for possible collaborations, coffee shops, restaurants, they are all your friends, and then everybody talks, right? Japan is not one, or Tokyo is not one big city. Tokyo is thousands and thousands of villages where everybody knows everybody. And if you become a star with, or you get a champion within your community, they will talk and you'll be it'll make your life a lot easier, trust me. But also each ward, and then each so yo, I'm in Yoyogi Gochome, that there is a tanto for each chome, so for each district. And if you I knock on the door, I make him an appointment, I go and have a cup of tea with the local community leader, I bring him a box of cookies, and then every year he knocks on my door and asks for money for the local festival, and I happily give it over. It is a tax deduction. So yeah, so it's you just be a good citizen and your life will be so much easier. Does that answer the question? We did have a question from the stream, and I think this is one is for a few people. It's more about setting up what's the word? Syndication. So do you want to speak to that?
So I can speak from our own personal perspective. We definitely represent groups of people who are purchasing together, but in our case, they come to us as a group. So they're either friends or family members, or they could be it could be like a, for example, a family office managing on behalf of family members. We have been regularly asked again and again and again if we can bring together a group of people and act on their behalf so that they can syndicate. We're personally, at least at this stage, still hesitant to do that because we would hate to be in a position of bringing complete strangers together and then facilitating debates and the disagreements between them on, whether an aircon unit needs to be replaced or whether the roof needs to be done now or in 10 years. That can be solved legally and financially by having a managing member in place, with the rest of the people being just being capital members, not actually having voting rights or decision rights. But it still puts us in a position where our reputation might suffer from decisions that we've made on behalf of 60% of the investors, while 40% were resisting something. So we personally have not gone down that path yet. We might in the future, but it's definitely the legal structures. There are plenty of legal structures and abilities in which you could do that. It's not a legal or logistics or financial issue. It's more of a who will do that on your behalf and are they happy to do that or yeah. Yes, go ahead. Sorry. We're very happy to be a managing entity on behalf of a group if we're not actually, if we don't have skin in the game and we're just being hired to manage on behalf of the group, then, you know, the group as a single entity gives us decisions and we act based on that. We make recommendations, obviously, but I think the syndication with us being managing members and actually being a part of the shareholders in the structure on behalf of a bunch of other non-related strangers that are just banding together for this purpose. I know that it's done on a regular basis, but I mean, fund structures and such are built to do that. We're not feeling comfortable doing that ourselves. If we were to take on a project like that, you mean? And that's what people are asking us to do, yes. And we're so far have been avoiding that.
There was another question.
I think that gentleman there was trying to ask a couple of questions.
Okay, all right, sorry.
My question is about methods of searching for investment properties. I think it might have been Amol mentioned that there was a licensed real estate agents have a RAINS service, which is the national database. So you could get a relationship with a agent to do a search based on your criteria. Is there a way to search independently databases? Because I've looked at Rakamachi often, but I have never successfully found anything. I've contacted the agent and the property was sold or I didn't get a response. Is there a way to just independently search for investment properties based on criteria?
Sure, thanks. Yeah, so the RAINS database is only for licensed agents that have access to that. Rakamachi is probably one of the better ones for investment properties, to be honest. So that's also one that you need to be on regularly as a public individual. That's probably your best bet, to be honest. There's no faster way. Probably the only other faster method, which is not so practical for individuals like yourself, which is you go and just make relationships with agents in the area, and they will likely see something pop up, or they'll have a client come to them and say, look, I want to sell my place. And say, oh, I've got someone who's actually looking to buy a property like yours. So, but that's not your regular job of going and trying to find these discounted ones. It's very hard to achieve. In the same way as Anton, like for someone like you, like Akia Properties, right? He does that. He goes and that's what he spends his day doing, is he knows how to build that and he's got the experience doing it. For someone like you or I, that's a bit too complex just for one deal that we're trying to do. It's not the business that we do regularly.
Just a couple of words of that. So, first on the RAINS, the properties listed in RAINS are only properties that those agents are actually okay to share their commission with buyer side agents. So what you see on Rakamachi and Kenbia a lot of the time are going to also be properties that are not listed on RAINS because those agents just want to sell them directly to the public. That's one thing. The other thing is that those websites are in Japanese and for the Japanese public. So when you say, when I approach the agent, the property is sold, or sometimes it's going to be a case of just the gaijin factor coming in, right? So it often is worth it having a Japanese acquaintance or staff member or spouse, or even hiring somebody part-time who can actually speak Keigo and write polite emails, just for the purpose of giving them this initial Japanese to Japanese contact. That makes things a lot easier. And the best way, like Emil was saying, if you can get into a relationship with an agent who actually understands that you're a serious buyer, a serious investor, then they will definitely be forwarding listings to you directly before they even list them on RAINS or the other MLS websites, which is the best way to get the deals if you can.
Next question, yes.
So I'm Yuka's asked a question about tax advice. She asked me if I could introduce her to a good accountant who could give her advice on various real estate deals. Now, to answer that, it's been my experience that the accountants that we work with are great if you tell them what to do. If you tell them to that this is your business plan and this is the model that you want to go with. If you want someone to give you advice on how to get various deductions, if you're missing out on any specialties, a regular tax accountant is not your person. And I'd like to hear Anton's feedback on this as well. But, you know, I suggested that you hire a strategist, book them for a consultancy, and say, look, this is my business plan. Is there a better way to do it? How should I structure this? And then once you have that, to then get the accountant to be pressing all the buttons and doing all the things for you. In terms of having a person that does both, I find that unless someone else has got a good advice, I haven't found one yet. So
business
strategist or tax strategist? Tracy. A tax strategist. So finding someone who you could go to with a business plan and ask them to give you specialty advice. I think you've got a few people in mind, Ziv.
Yeah, so there are accountants that do a much higher level macro kind of work and provide tax strategy and review business plans and tell you better ways to do things, but they're not cheap. So these people normally would cost you something like $6,000 to $7,000 a year, and they'll handle everything for you and they'll be available to advise you along the way and to offer insights. But the types of accountants that we normally work with just to do our tax returns, the cheaper ones are definitely not that.
So when it comes to tax attorneys, when someone passes away and when it comes to succession and inheritance, the people who inherit Akyas, they usually go through their tax accountant. So I was approached by my accountant about an Akya in Shibuya 1 month ago. And that's another way to, like, if people know that you're interested, like, they will come and kind of give houses in front of you. So you just talk to people and, like, just be honest. What do you want? I'm looking for a house. I'm looking for an investment property. I'm looking for something. And people will help you because it's in everybody's interest.
It's about the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And that also goes with my business as well, finding guests for my properties. I'm very clear about what I do, who I serve. And, you know, if someone has popped up on Facebook and said, do you know somewhere to stay for, you know, for a family, yada, yada, I will often have a number of people tag me on Facebook, for example. So, you know, with your business, just be loud and proud about what you do and what you're looking for and ask the question. So. What's that?
Continue. There's heaps.
I'll
let you read it and then.
For Ziv, what is the minimum investment opportunity amount for a first-time Tom?
Feasibly, logistically, practically, you can start still in some cities around Japan. You can buy relatively good cash flow yielding rental properties for, let's say, 2-3 million yen or 20-30,000. Oh, no, it's even less, like 15-20,000 US. But these are not good profile properties. They're not good profile tenants. So you'll have a lot more fluctuations. You'll have destitute tenants passing away in the property very often. You'll occasionally, depending on the city, you might have some delayed payments, tenants absconding. I would say in a good location, good cash yielding property probably start at 5-6 million yen and close to 10-12 is better if you can afford that.
Okay.
Just making a purchase, you can go through a real estate agent to hire a real estate agent to sell it to. But can you do a sale without using a real estate agent and then kind of talk through the price a little bit, for example, under the table, make a payment to the person on the record, put down a very low amount?
So. Okay, so Yeah, let me repeat it and make sure I understand it. Because it's, I'm a bit curious about your question because it's who is it trying to appease? So the question was, can you not use an agent and then just make a purchase agreement directly and do a transaction with what you say on the contract price versus the actual cash you give them is agreed that it's different. It depends who you're trying to present the different numbers to.
The seller probably doesn't.
Okay, an income tax. Okay, so generally, if it's tax avoidance from the seller, right, that's something the buyer does not want to deal with. Right. So I understand. So your situation is okay. It's a, you know, 50 million yen property. But if the seller sells it for 50 million, he's going to have to pay maybe a lot of tax. So he wants to sell to you for 30 million yen on the contract. Sorry. Okay. Then, okay. If it's those lower numbers, then there's not a lot of tax implication in it anyway. And the risk goes on to you as the buyer because, you know, if you do pay for that lower price, when you do go to sell it down the line, you're the one who's got the capital growth. So that's not, it just sort of doesn't happen because someone gets hit with the tax if it's a tax avoidance plan. And with those lower numbers, it's probably not worthwhile doing. And if you want to actually have a bank involved, the banks will only deal if a licensed agent has drawn up the contracts. Yeah, so like, yes, it could be done, but if it's only to avoid the tax burden, that's really just on the seller's benefit, not the buyer's. The buyer is at risk. So you can negotiate something and that's entirely up to you what you do with that. It's possible to do the title transaction and write whatever numbers you want. Because it's not the government doesn't really care. The city hall doesn't really care. They don't ask for how much it was. But the tax office, when that happens, well, that's kind of something that you got a great area you can delve into. But in terms of the process, yes, that can be done if you like.
So you might hate me for saying this, but you might agree on a price with the seller prior, and then you just bring it to the real estate agent. Because in my experience, you will need a real estate agent there because they will guide you through everything and they will help you. But if you already have the deal set up, you can then go to a real estate agent who will just make the deal happen like this. And then if they're nice, maybe they'll give you a cheaper price if the deal is already there.
Sorry, just two small points. Firstly, logistically, legally, it is very possible to conduct a real estate deal without real estate agents being involved. Sorry, Emil. We, for example, we regularly, when one of our customers wants to sell a property and we happen to have a buyer, the only thing that we would do, which I would recommend anyone do, definitely don't skip that bit, is get a shihoshoshi involved, right? So get a property lawyer involved to check the validity of the title deed, to make sure that all the terms are agreed upon on the contract and everyone knows what they're buying and selling. And then it's definitely doable without a real estate agent. The other thing is, when a property is being transferred between people that are acquainted with each other in one way or another, and especially if it's done, for example, if you own a property as an individual, and then for one reason or another, you want to transfer it under a company that you own or vice versa, the shihoshoshi will be doubly careful to avoid conflicts of interest, even if there is a real estate agent involved. And even when the accountant, for example, the sale contract has, it can't be like a 1 yen sale contract. It has to actually specify a reasonable price for the legal fees and the tax to be paid to the government to be fair and according to what the market price, or at least the officially evaluated price, which is a little bit lower always, has to be. So the way we do it in these cases is we bring on an accountant to provide an official evaluation of the property, and then the shihoshoshi prepares the contract based on that price. But that's, I think, very different to the case where you're describing, which is the opposite of that. You're trying to actually reduce the price to make it more attractive tax-wise or for other reasons. So I don't have an official answer to that. Sorry.
Does that cover you? Are you sorted? Excellent. Excellent. There is a question from the stream here, and it's a rephrasing from an earlier question. I think it's, are Japanese citizens entitled to certain tax advantages when purchasing property, residential property? And do these apply to PR, people with PR or work permits or even non-residents? Someone's saying the mic is out. Is the streaming mic out? Gonzalo, are you there? Is the streaming mic out? Okay.
Okay, so I'll answer that about the tax rebates. So in Japan, there's a Jutaka loan kojo. If you have a home loan, you can get a tax rebate. I think I mentioned in my slide, but it's now it's adjusted. I think it's up to 10 years and like 200 to 250,000 yen per year, depending on your some conditions about the house and your income. It's eligible if you're a resident in Japan. Okay, so if your residency is here, then it's a rebate on your taxable income. If you're non-resident, you're not paying tax here, then you're not eligible for that. But it's as long as you're resident here, it's regardless of nationality. That's it. And if you are resident here and you don't work, you don't have any taxable income, then there's nothing to rebate. So you're not eligible for that. And it's only your primary residence and the residence you've lived at on December 31st. So if you move, like with my first property, I was getting that rebate, but I lived there for 2.5 years before I bought my second property. So I got that rebate for two or three years with the first one. And then when I moved to the next one, I started getting, because that was a new house, I think I got it for 13 years. And I'm still getting that rebate for the new house, but I don't get it for the previous one because that's no longer my primary residence.
Would you wait for like purchasing a new condo or house? Yeah.
Right. That's the I get that question a lot. So it's the market is high. The market is quite high now. So the question was, should I wait for the current high market to drop before purchasing a property? Right? Yeah, you just wait for the dip. Okay. Yeah. I had this question when I started doing these seminars, Foreigner's Guide to Buying a House in Japan, which I think was in 2014, I started doing it. The Olympics and Abenomics really started around 2013. That's when Tokyo won was announced as the host of the 2020 Olympics. And just, I remember in 2014, I had the same question. Now, because of the Olympics, should I wait to buy in the post-Olympic dip? And even after coronavirus and the Olympics that were not, the market has constantly been up and up and up. At any stage in that time, it would have been the highest point of the market, and it still is, yeah. So at any time I could have answered, it's the highest it's ever been right now. You can wait if you want, or you can buy now and you'd be better off. Who knows? But historically, that hasn't been the case. Rather, what I tell people is, if you need a place for yourself, I feel that the very low interest rate means that instead of paying rent, 100% of your rent is lost money. Okay, you don't get that at all. But if you have a home loan, if you're paying 200,000 yen a month, about 15% of that, so like about 30,000 yen is interest. The 170,000 yen a month is paying off the loan. So that's almost 2 million yen per year. If you can wait 5 years, that's 10 million yen that you've paid off your loan. Has the market gone down 10 million yen? Is that how much it's going to drop? I don't think so, because the interest is so good. That's where the value is in Japanese real estate, especially owning your own home, which is why I advocate for that so much. The interest rate is so low. It's such a good deal, so much better than rent. So I think it's a safe option. So don't wait. Get into it sooner rather than later is what I feel.
Oh, here we go. Oh. That's so faithful. So it's a bit expanding on the previous question regarding the loan Genze. So the loan Genze is 10 years, usually. So let's say you have your primary residence. You keep it for 10 years, you pay your loan Genze, then you acquire another primary residence. Can you start that off again?
Yeah, it sort of depends. But so the loan Genze is the tax rebate you get for having a home loan. And yes, if you get a new loan, like just say you've been in your house for 10 or 15 years, you had the full 10 years of it. If you buy a new property, is the new property eligible for that tax rebate? Yes, it is. Yeah, it is eligible. What you cannot overlap is there's also another tax waiver, which is if you sell your primary residence and make up to 30 million yen, Sanzema yen, of capital gain in that. Generally, capital gains is taxable, but if it's your primary residence, the first 30 million yen of capital gain will be waived as being non-taxable. If you decide to take that tax waiver, then you need to wait 3 years until your next property that, if you want to use the loan discount. But let's say you buy a new property, you can wait three years, but then your property is not eligible for that tax rebate because you've already lived there. It's a new property after 3 years is what's eligible. What I tell people with the tax one that's a bit more useful, with the tax rebate, is it's you can split it between husband and wife if you're both employed. So, the tax rebate is basically capped out after about a 40 million yen of home loan. So if you buy an 80 million yen property, whether it's 40 million or 80 million, your rebate is still going to be about 200,000 yen a year. But if you split that with your spouse, 50-50, and you're both employed, then the bank says, okay, you have split 50-50 ownership, or the tax office rather. The husband has an equivalent of 40 million yen of loan, and the wife has an equivalent of 40 million yen of loan. So now you both can do the tax rebate, right? If only one person earns income, then it's not really relevant because the non-income earner doesn't get any rebate because they're not paying tax. But yeah, you can sort of split it. So I tell people that are looking at, the 70, 80 million yen plus type properties, one of the benefits of doing joint ownership with their spouse is that that tax rebate.
So a question about home loans. The question is buying a used home and then folding the cost of the renovations into the loan. How common is that? And then what's like the actual sequencing of getting the Mitsumorisha, the invoice or whatever, and getting those costs financed?
Thank you. Yeah, that's a very common question and a very easy one. So we do that a lot in our office. So our office, we have a renovation team. We have almost 1,000 properties under property management for rentals. And so we have about 10 move-outs every week, which require re-wallpapering and stuff like that. So we started to get our own in-house sort of renovation team rather. So now we do full-blown renovations as well. And for clients that buy a house. So if you buy a used house, let's say 80 million yen, just work with some numbers, and then you want to do a renovation of about 10 million yen, kitchen, bathroom, toilet, wallpaper, etc. Our office can prepare a quotation. So it's 80 million for the property plus a 10 million yen renovation quote. And when we apply for the bank, we put them both together. And even in the application, it says, how much is the house? 80 million. How much is the renovation? 10 million. How much are closing costs? 4 million. And so we want to get 94 million yen of home loan to cover everything and nothing out of pocket. And that whole thing is done together basically as one home loan at the end of it. And your interest rate is still like that 0.29 or 0.45, whatever it may be, it's all at that deal. If you own the house and then you just want to renovate it yourself after a few years, renovation loans like that, you can also apply. There are lots of banks that will support that. But I think interest rates are maybe 2 to 2.7%. Okay, as you said, yeah, but yeah, 2 to 3%. And perhaps even Anton might know a bit better.
About, I don't know anything about that. Okay. Sorry about it.
Cash man. All right. so I hope that answers part of your question.
Yep, I think we're done. Thank you. Thank you very much for your time as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, we will. Okay, so a group selfie, but first, all of our contact information is, I think, largely available either on the website or you've gotten our cards, you've met us along the day. Tracy, wait, hold on. Wait. Let's get this done. Oh, you're going to just yourself?
You're going to
Oh. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'll. Okay. I got the long arms. I know what's going on. Hey, everyone.
Hey, Chief.
Wait, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Oh, that was okay. The quietest countdown I've ever heard. Thank you so very much. So if anyone is interested in following up with any one of us, you know our contact information.
Yep. We're still here.
We're still here right now.